So we're going to speak this week all about different aspects of Al-Nisim in both Tefillah and Birchas HaMazon, and then we're going to go on to an interesting discussion all about being Mispal Al-Hanes, a person who would be davening for a miracle to happen, as well as having Hanah from a Nes also. So we're going to discuss these in Yanim, as we discuss the issues of Al-Nisim and eating on Hanukkah and all different things regarding to that. I just want to make an announcement that next week I got myself a substitute. I'm going to be here, but sometimes the substitute, Nor Bavadia's son, writes that, I think. He writes a story about that, how he used to give a shiur in, I forgot where it was, somewhere in Rechavia or something like that, when he was young. And his father used to always want him to write up his shtiklach Torah or to write up his tshuvas or something like that. So sometimes he would be so busy all day writing up his father's svarim that he wasn't able to prepare for the shiur. So he would tell his father, you know, listen, I was busy all day with your stuff, you got to go fill in for me. So they said people were so excited to go to his shiur because most of the times his father would pop in instead of him and they never knew exactly which was one. So next week my father's giving a Hanukkah shiur instead.
Oh,
at what?
Right up.
That's right. So my rib is 8 o'clock and the shiur is 8:15. I don't know if it's in here or if it's in there.
But
in here? Whatever. Wherever it is. Somewhere in this building. Okay, so we'll start as follows. Let's look again at the first sheet that we have about Haskaras Al-Nisim Mitzvila Beberchas HaMazon. It says that on the top of the sheet. And we'll start again looking at the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Let's start afresh. What does the Gemara say? What is the din? What's the halacha? Must a person recite Al-Nisim and Berchas HaMazon or not? Kivin the Midr Abananu, what are the two tzadim? Why should I recite Berchas HaMazon? Why should I not recite Berchas HaMazon? Says the Gemara. Maybe since Chanukah is only a Yontif Midr Abanan, and it's not a Yontif Midaraisa, as we all know. However, that is not so simple, like we pointed out last week from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer believes that the Yontif of Chanukah is a Din D'Oraisa. It's not just a Din D'Rabanan. And the Chassam Sofer only points out that what I'm going to do on the Yontif of Chanukah, let's say, saying reciting Hallel, saying Al Nisim, lighting Chanukah candles, or eating Lakas, all that is only Din D'Rabanan or just Minhagim. But says the Chassam Sofer, the concept of instituting a Chanukah, instituting a Yontif when a Nes happens, is actually a concept midaraisa, and therefore he feels that Chanukah is a din daraisa. So leaving the opinion of the Chassam Sofer aside, the general assumption is that the Yontif of Chanukah is only a Yontif midarabanan. And that's the simple understanding of this Gemara as well. That's what the Gemara says, maybe since Chanukah is only midarabanan, therefore I should not recite Al Nisim and Berchas HaMazon. Or do I say no? O Dilma, on the second line, Mishum Pesurim Nisa Matkarinan. Maybe since this is about Pesurim Nisa, since Chanukah is all about being Mefarsim, the Nes that happened, maybe we should recite Al Hanisim, regardless of the fact that Chanukah is only Midrabanan. So that is the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Eino Mazkir. The halacha l'maisa is a person does not recite Al Hanisim in Berchas HaMazon, V'im Bala Hazkir Mazkir V'Hodah. If a person would like to, as the Achronim point out, it seems in the Gemara it's only a minhag. It's not a din at all. The Gemara says that Eino Mazkir. The halacha is he does not have to say it in Berchas HaMazon. However, says the Gemara, if he wants to, he says it Behodah. He says it in Modim. Neidah. I'm sorry, in Neidelecha. I think I made the same mistake last week. He says it in Neidelecha. Very good. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikla Lebe. Rav Asar Lad Kuri B'Boni Yerushalayim. So he wanted to say it in Boni Yerushalayim instead of saying in Neidelecha. So said the Gemara, Amar Lehu Rav Sheshes Kitfila, Mat Tfila Behodah. Just like in Davening, I say it in Modim. And I don't say it in the middle of Ali Yerushalayim Yercha. After Berchas HaMazon Behodah. So now, my father pointed out, what's the suffix of the Gemara over here? The Gemara says, maybe since Chanukah is only Midrabanan, so therefore I'm not mechuyev to recite Al Nisim, or maybe I should say that since Chanukah is all about Persumei Nisa, I should recite Al Nisim. So what? So it's only Midrabanan, so why don't I go out of my way to recite Al Nisim anyway? What do I care that it's only Midrabanan? So my father explained that maybe the pshat is that the Gemara tells us in Brachas as follows. The Gemara says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which we know means that kol yom b'yom tein lo me'ein brachosav. Every single day a person has to specialize the brachos that he's making according to that specific day where he happens to be holding. So therefore, when it's Shabbos, he's supposed to say a specific nusach of Shemona Esrei, commemorating the fact that today is Shabbos, this is not a regular day. When it's Pesach, so he's supposed to say a nusach of Shemona Esrei, which indicates that today is not a normal day, it's Pesach. Shavuos and Sukkot is the same thing. But what are you going to say when it's a yontif min derabanan? On a level of deraisa, this day is the same as every day. So if we're discussing the issue of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, which means every single day I must specialize the bracha, so when it comes to Chanukah, which is only Yontif Midrabanan, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no difference in the Nusach HaTfilah that I have to do, because this yantiv is really not recognized on the level of Daraisa. So that was the Gemara's first tad, that maybe since it's only a yantiv midirabanan, that does not warrant us to make any sort of addition or any sort of difference in the Shemona Esrei at all. Or, says the Gemara, maybe since it's Pursum and Nisa, therefore we should. So that was the way my father explained this Gemara. Now, it seems very clear. I made the same mistake last week as well, and you pointed it out again. Thank you. So now, let's get back to your point. So why is it... What?
This is true
Chazara. True Chazara, great. So, thank you. So the Gemara does say, as a Davar Pashut, like you just pointed out, that in davening, of course I say Al Anisim. The Gemara's only suffix over here is, what about Birchas HaMazon? So that is subject to a Machlokas HaRishonim. What is the reason behind this Gemara? Why do I think that when it comes to davening, then it's obvious that I have to recite Al Anisim to commemorate the fact that today is Chanukah? However, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, that's subject to debate in the Gemara, whether or not a person must recite Al Anisim. What's this all about? So Tosfos writes on the spot, one reason is because since Tefillah is something which is Pesume Nisa, because we say Chazaras HaShatz, so then obviously when I'm saying Tefillah out loud, then for sure I have to recite Al HaNisim on Chanukah. Why? Because we want everyone to hear about the Nes of Chanukah, we want to publicize it as much as we can, and therefore Tosfos says that's why the Gemara assumed that it was obvious that a person would have to recite Al HaNisim in Shemona Esrei. However, the Gemara had a suffix when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, since a person says that in the privacy of his own home, so maybe that would not warrant a person to say Al HaNisim, because it's really not such a tremendous Pursume Nisa, because he's just sitting by himself or maybe with his family. The Nitziv writes in his Bir on the Shilta Chavav, he asks a question on this Tosfos where he says, if this is right, if Tosfos is correct, that the reason why it's so obvious by Tefillah that I must say Al HaNisim is because Tefillah is Pursume Nisa, so what are you going to say by Ma'ariv where there is no Chazaras HaShatz? Ask the Nitziv, if that's correct, so why by Ma'ariv is it so obvious that I say Al HaNisim? So you could say, the most obvious way, that it's like, look, all davening on Chanukah, we're going to do X. No matter whether there's Chazaras HaShatz or not, we're going to say Al HaNisim regardless of the specific things that are happening in this tefillah. And therefore, maybe you could still say that Tosfos' pshat is okay. However, the Shiltos himself in Shilta Chavav writes a different reason, which is not like Tosfos. He writes that the reason why a person must recite Al HaNisim in tefillah on Chanukah, however, he does not have to recite Al HaNisim in the Birchas HaMazon, is for the following reason. We know the Gemara says by Rosh Chodesh that a person must say, this is a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Tesem and Beis, that a person must recite Yalav Yavim Birchas HaMazon. However, what if he makes a mistake and he forgets to recite Yalav Yavim Birchas HaMazon on Rosh Chodesh? Din is, he does not repeat Birchas HaMazon. What's the din if he forgets to say Yalav Yavim on Rosh Chodesh? So by Ma'ariv, he does not repeat because Emikachin is Achodesh Balayla. However, by Shachris and by Mincha, he does repeat. Very nice. So what's the din, says the Gemara, if a person forgets to say Yalav Yavo when he's benching on Rosh Chodesh? The Gemara says very clearly, he does not have to repeat. Why? Because since I'm not Mechuyiv to have a Suda on Rosh Chodesh, therefore, I don't have to repeat Birchas HaMazon if I forget to recite the Yalav Yavo edition, which is added on Rosh Chodesh. So, says the Shiltas, based on that, I also say over here, that since a person must daven every single day of Chanukah, right, that's a chiyuv, tefillah is a chova, so since tefillah is a chiyuv, therefore I must recite Al HaNisim in my tefillah. However, since eating on Chanukah is not really a chiyuv at all, which we'll get to in a few minutes, exactly, in a little more than a few minutes, exactly what the story is with having a chiyuv suda on Chanukah or not, we'll get to that. So says the Shultas that being that there's no chiyuv to really eat on Chanukah, and it's just a Rishus, so that should be exactly like Rosh Chodesh, and therefore a person does not have to recite, maybe a person would not have to recite Al HaNisim when it comes to eating on Chanukah. Anyone think of the obvious question? The Nitziv asks a very obvious difference between the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Tes by Yalav Yavo and our Gemara over here by Al HaNisim on Chanukah. Very obvious difference. Says the Nitziv, I don't understand. Over there, we all agree that L'chatchilo you should say Yalav Yavo and Berchos HaMazon. It's just that if I forgot to say it, so I don't have to repeat. So how does the Shiltas make that assumption? How does he carry that over to Al HaNisim? By Al HaNisim, the Gemara is saying, maybe even the Chatchila you don't have to say it. So what's the connection? That's not an equal equation. That doesn't make any sense. How do you say that L'chatchila by Al HaNisim you're not even going to have to say because I have no Chiv to eat? What do you mean? L'chatchila you have to say by Yalav Yavo. So how do you connect these two dinim together? So that's the question that the Nitziv ends off with on the Shiltas and Shilta Chavav, and he says he really doesn't understand the Shiltas as Pshat in our Gemara. How does the Shiltas explain in Shabbos Daf Chavdalid that the reason why a person must recite Yalav Yavo in Tefillah and not in Berachas HaMazon is because I don't have a chiyuv to say Berachas HaMazon on Chanukah at all. That's very problematic. That's something that's a very problematic pshat in the Gemara, and therefore we might be stuck with just saying the pshat that Tosfos says, which is that the reason why tefillah is obvious is because it's Pirsam HaNeis. However, when it comes to Berachas HaMazon, that is not such a presuming nisa, and a person might not have to recite. So the maskana of the Gemara actually is that reciting Al Nisim and Berachas HaMazon is only a minhag, and therefore we adopt the minhag, and we do say Al Nisim in Berachas HaMazon the same way we recite it in tefillah as well. So it's interesting to just look on number 2 of the first source sheet. The Rambam writes that in the first line he says B'chanukah v'Purim Moisif be'emtza Berachas Ha'aretz Al Nisim. Very good, so far so good. The Rambam's just quoting the din that we all know, that we have the minhag to say Al Nisim in Berachas HaMazon. However, says the Rambam, what is this minhag based on? Kederach Shemosa B'Tfilah, says the Rambam, the same chiyuv that I have to recite Al Nisim in benching, I'm sorry, in Tfilah, that's the same chiyuv that I have to recite in benching. That's a Peladik Rambam. The Lecha Mishnah asks on the Rambam right there, how do you tell me it's the same exact chiyuv? It's not true. When it comes to Berachas HaMazon, it's only a minhag. When it comes to Tfilah, that's a real din. So that's what the Lecha Mishnah asks, and the Lecha Mishnah gives a suggestion that possibly this Rambam is based on the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi writes that if a person forgets to say Al Nisim, he must repeat benching on Chanukah. Interesting Yerushalmi. So says the Lecha Mishnah, the Rambam didn't want to be so radical to say, like the Yerushalmi, and require a person to bench over and say a Chashash Baruch Levatala. He didn't want to go that far. But the Rambam took the Yerushalmi one step, and he said that based on the Yerushalmi, it would seem that really a person does have a chiyuv to say Al Nisim in the Berachas HaMazon. So that's the way the Lecha Mishnah explains the Rambam. But this Rambam is a very mechudish tekashita. Most of the opinions hold that reciting Al Nisim in Berachas HaMazon is only a minute. So, we mentioned last week that this Fasemis has on his Pirush on Shas, he has a kasha on this Gemara Shabbos Daf Chav Dalet. His kasha stems from the Ramah in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, which is in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, where the Ramah quotes a halacha from the Maharil. He writes as follows. We know the Shari Tshuva writes over there, also appears on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva writes, a person who has to eat on Tisha B'Av. So let's say he has to eat a sandwich. So he has to bench, obviously. He has a chiv d'oraisa to bench. What's the din? Is he supposed to say Nachem in Berachas HaMazon? Is he supposed to commemorate the fact that today is Tisha B'Av or not? So says the Shari Tshuva, no, that's a bizayin. Shouldn't be proud of the fact that you're eating on Tisha B'Av. And the Bira Agra writes the same thing over there, that a person shouldn't flaunt the fact that he's eating on Tisha B'Av. It's a terrible thing that he's not feeling well and he has to eat. And he should keep it quiet. He should not recite Nachem. He should just bench quietly and not make any mention of the fact that today is Tisha B'Av. However, says the Ramah passes b'shem the Ma'aril and Siman Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, that a person who must eat on Tisha B'Av should go ahead and recite a tefillah of Nachem in the middle of Berachas HaMazon. Ask the Sfasamas Akasha, I don't understand. If our Gemara says there are two qualifications in order for a person to recite some sort of addition in the Berachas HaMazon, either it should be a Yantif Midaraisa, right? That's what our Gemara said. That maybe since Chanukah is Derabbanan, so we don't mention it. So number one, either it should be a Yantif Midaraisa, or number two, it should be Pirsumei Nisa. So ask the Sfasamas, you have neither of those over here by Tisha B'Av. Number one, Tisha B'Av is only a Derabbanan, it's not a Yantif Deraisa. Number two, Tisha B'Av is not Pirsumei Nisa, it's Avelos, it's Churban. So ask the Sfasamas, according to our Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Dalet, why is it by Tisha B'Av in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, why does the Ramah Paskin that I must make mention of Tisha B'Av in the middle of my Berachas HaMazon? Very strong kasha of the Sfasamas. So the Sfasamas give two answers, and he says, answer number one could be that since we know that there's a minhag to say Al Nisim in Berachas HaMazon and it's not really Maker Adin, but the Gemara says if a person wants, he has the right to say Al Nisim and it's not considered a hefsik. So he said, we adopt that minhag as well when it comes to Ilchas Tisha B'Av, and a person has the right to say Nachem in his Berachas HaMazon if he must eat, and it's not going to be considered a hefsik. Okay, that's one answer. Second answer is that he says that Tisha B'Av, the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is so chamer, and we take it so seriously, that that's the same as the Inyan of Pirsumei Nisa. The same way we say by Chanukah that because of the Pirsum HaNeis, we want to make sure to make mention of Al Nisim of Chanukah in our Berachas HaMazon, because we take Pirsumei Nisa so seriously, so too by Tisha B'Av, when we take the Avelus of Tisha B'Av so seriously, we also should make sure to make mention of it in our Berachas HaMazon. So these are the two answers of the Sfasemis on Shabbos Daf Chaf Dalet. That's the way he's Miyashiv, the Ramah in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, and our Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Dalet. So now, what's the halacha if a person forgets to say Al Nisim in Berachas HaMazon? So we all know that the din is a person does not go ahead and repeat Berachas HaMazon if he forgets Al Nisim. However, the Ramah does paskin that a person who forgets to say Al Anisim and Berchas Hamazon does recite a special Harachaman in honor of Chanukah. And this Harachaman is only made specifically for a person who actually forgot to say Al Anisim. If you didn't forget to say, so you don't mention this tefillah. So what is the Ramah's Nusach? The Ramah says a person should say Harachaman hu yasalanu nisim kemosha asisa bayam mahem. So we also want that our Kadosh Baruch Hu should do tremendous nisim for us, just like he did that. Ask the Bechar Shara Masechah Shabbos. And how do I know about the Bechar Shara Masechah Shabbos? Whoever looked in there, answer is the Shari Tshuva in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin quotes the Bechar Shara. That's where everybody knows this famous Bechar Shara. Nobody actually ever looked it up. But the Bechar Shara himself writes that he says that I don't understand. If you look at the last thing on the first sheet that we have here, the Gemara says in Brachas on the Psalma Chamed Aleph, Haisa Ishtim Uberis, the person's wife becomes pregnant. Va'amar, and he recites, he offers a tefillah. Yehi Ratzon, everyone have it? Brachas Daf Samach Amud Aleph, bottom of the page. Good. So the Gemara says, if a person's wife is pregnant and he offers a tefillah, Yehi Ratzon Shetelid Ishti Zachar. For some reason, I have a bug in my head that I want to have a Zachar. So I want to be mispalled the whole pregnancy that my wife should actually give birth to a boy. So says the Gemara, Harezu Tefillah Shav. That's improper. A person should not offer such a tefillah. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already decided what this child is going to be. Is it going to be a Zachar and a Keva? Aye, what's the obvious question?
The first 30 days you could
be. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. That's what the Gemara says. But the obvious kasha is from Chumash. Leah. So what does the Gemara say about Leah? We know the famous Medrash Rashi quotes is that Rachel and Leah really switched children. Dina was supposed to be born to Rachel and Yosef was supposed to be born to Leah. So how are they allowed to do that? So that's what the Gemara is discussing over here. The Gemara says, Emas Kir Maisa Nisan. That's the Imos, that's the Halig Imos, but the Avos were a whole different situation going on there. They were bringing up the Yud Beis Shiftei Kos, so that was a different story. However, when it comes to normal people, we're not supposed to be mispal on al hanes.
Everything's predetermined. In Panos, daven on Panos also.
Oh, so that's not a nes. That's Zerach HaTeva. I'm allowed to daven.
Do we ask him for a nes?
That's the Gemara in the Hamshach. So the Gemara says as follows: Kidetanya. So let's see. Says the Gemara: when am I allowed to daven unless I have a boy? Shloshi Yom Harishonim. If the first 3 days after a person has tashmish with his wife. A person should be mispallel that actually the pregnancy should go through and the zera shouldn't get ruined. Fine. Mishlosh avad arbaim, between 30 days when we know it's niklat hazera, when we know now this woman is probably pregnant, so between 3 days and 40 days, says the Gemara, 40 days we know is the yitziras of Vlad, that's when the child actually comes into existence, that's when we have a tzura of Vlad. Says the Gemara, from 3 days until 40 days, yivakish rachamim shiyehe zachar. That's when it's proper for a person to actually be mispallel that the child should be a zachar if he wants to have a son or a daughter, whatever. May arbaim yom va'ad shlosha chadashim, from 40 days until 3 months' time, yivakri shirachamim shloyeh sandal. He should be mispallel that the child should not be a sandal, which is a very strange gemara. It's very strange. Tosis and Nida talks about exactly in the Shittim Kubetzes, they have machlokes. What does this mean, sandal? The gemara talks about a woman. The gemara in Yavamas talks about in the fourth parakah in Hachole, it's about a woman not living with a husband after she's pregnant already, because we're afraid Shema Yehei Ubra Sandal. Maybe she'll become pregnant again, and the first child is going to be crushed. So it's like, it's a very strange Matthias. If you ask any doctor, they will tell you it's impossible. Something that will never happen. I actually did speak to someone, who an OBGYN, who said, we were just learning this Gemara recently. I'll tell you an interesting shayla that also came up this week about this Gemara. So the this OBGYN said it could happen, but only within the first 3 days of Klita Sazera. But later on in the pregnancy, it's impossible. Once the child is already something significant, or it's already has a Tzuras HaVlad, it's impossible that it would get crushed. The one possibility is, and it's interesting, because if you look in Tosis and Nida, he says, what's the Gemara talking about? Uber Sandal, how do you ever have such a case? Tosis says, talking about twins. What about twins? Happens to be interesting that this week, the Bustin Rebbe from Borough Park called my father with a Shaila about a woman in his shul who was pregnant with twins, and one of the twins passed away, and the doctors say that the most healthy way to deal with this problem, the other twin is fine. So the doctors say that the healthiest way to deal with the problem is that leave the regular twin alone and leave the other one inside as well. And when the regular twin is born, the other one will come out, the one that's not alive anymore will come out with it in the same delivery. You shouldn't do any procedure now, just leave it, and for the rest of the pregnancy, they'll both be in the stomach together. Happens to be the doctors say that when that is the situation, when you have one twin that's alive and one twin that's dead, The second twin will come out like a book, totally crushed. It will not have a tzuras havlat at all. That was the metzius. Interesting. So the shaila was about that, whether that nafil needs a kvura when it's born. That was the question they were discussing this week. Interesting shaila. Interesting also that I called the Rosh HaWeiss this week to discuss the shaila with him, and one of the only times I remember, but he said, he's like, I really have no idea. So I was wondering, that it's very strange because I thought it was very strange because he is the Pesach of Shari Tzedek Hospital. I was wondering, how does this never happen in Shari Tzedek? A woman never has a stillborn? Like, I didn't understand the Metzius. So I asked him, I said, how could it be? You never wrote a tshuva on this? You never discussed? What's the hospital policy? How does it work? So he thinks for a minute, he says, oh, this is why. Because the hospital in Eretz Yisrael is Jewish. So the hospital doesn't want the parents to go through the agmas nefesh of having to arrange for the kvura with the chevra kadisha. So the hospital is a favor to any parent that this happens to. The hospital says, we'll take care of it. So there's never a shaila, because the hospital just does it on their own with the chevra kadisha, and the parents never have to pay any money. The parents never have to go ahead with any type of procedure, any type of planning. So it just goes through. But in America, where I actually have to make sure that the arrangements are taken care of on my own, so that's where we have these types of questions. When is there a chiv kvura, when is there not? Yeah, the Chevra Kadisha usually does, but first of all, number one, the person has to pay money, and number two...
It's a group if they don't tell you where they bury it, they won't charge you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, if you hear about the Agmas Nefesh that people go through, just arranging it, it's very terrible, so that's why it's not something to be taken lightly. Interestingly enough, where is this discussed about Kfuras Nefalim? I know we're going a little off, but it's strange. I would think it's in Hilchos Avelos. It's not. However, it's in the Magen Avram in Hilchos Yantiv Sheni Shel Golias. Magen Avram talks about it because about doing a Levaya on the second day of Yantiv. So Magen Avram has 2 days. What's the status of a Nefal when we do a Kfuras Nefal? Anyway, so that's the story. So the Bechar Shor has this kasha that if you look at this Gemara, the Gemara says that from 3 months on, a person, Mishlosha Chadashim Ad Shisha Yivakish Rachim Shlo Yehi Nefal, from 3 months to 6 months, a person should daven that his child should be born healthy and it should not die in the womb. From 6 months till 9, a person should daven that his wife should have a healthy labor and a healthy birth, and everyone should be okay. Very nice. So ask the Bechar Shor, quoted in the Shari Tshuva, in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, what are you talking about over here? How does a person say, if he forgets to say, Al HaNisim in Berachas HaMazon, says the Ramah, he's supposed to say, HaRachman Hu Yasser Lanu Nisim. We have a Gemara in Berachas Daf Samach Beferish that tells us a person is not allowed to be Mispal Al HaNis. So what's going on? How am I allowed to be Mispal over here? HaRachman Hu Yasser Lanu Nisim. We're asking that our Kaddish Baruch Hu do a nace for us. How are we allowed to be mispal for such a thing? So that's the Bechar Shor's famous kasha.
What's the connection? But it doesn't come with a connection to this. We're not asking for a nace.
By the baby, you're asking for a nace if you want a zachar. If our Kaddish Baruch Hu already determined, after 40 days, the zachar becomes either a zachar or a keva.
We're not asking for a switch.
What do you mean? If let's say I say I want my child to be a zachar.
Right.
I have a bug in my head.
40 days.
Right, but after that, says the Gemara, it's improper for me to daven to have a zachar. Because whatever our Kaddish Baruch Hu decided is already made. The child is already created. So it's improper. So says the Gemara, I left part of it out. It says, what? No, I'm saying harachaman hu yasal anonisim. I want that he should do a nesra. Every harachaman, Allah, there are people who say amen after every harachaman. When they hear a person say harachaman next to them, they say amen. Because every single one is a tefillah.
The objection is not to say you can't have a nace. The objection is on something that's already been created,
right,
to say that it should change.
Because that's being mispal al nace, the Gemara says.
No, it's nothing to do with mispal al nace.
That's what the Gemara says over here. The Gemara in the Hemshech, the Gemara says by Rachel and Leah.
The Gemara there talks about whether it's in the future or it's something in the past. Right?
The Gemara here talks about Rachel and Leah switching. So that was being mispal al anes. How are they allowed to be mispal for such a thing? That's not right. How is Leah mispal that Yosef should be switched with Dina? If they were already pregnant, each one was pregnant with their respective children, and Leah was pregnant with a son, and Rachel was pregnant with a daughter, so how is Leah allowed to be mispal that her child should be switched with Rachel's child? That's an anes. All the Achrenim take out of that Gemara that you see that it's also mispal al anes. A person's not allowed to do such a thing. So that's what the Bechar Shor asks over here. If that's true, also this Bal Al Anes, that's what everyone learns from this Gemara. All the Rishonim and Achronim say that. So if that's true, so then why is it that a person is allowed to be Mispal on Chanukah, Harachon Yasal on Anisim? That's the Bechar Shor's kasha. Says the Bechar Shor as follows, that Litzorech Rabim is Mutter. If I'm doing it for myself, so then I'm not allowed to be mispal al anes. If I'm doing it for the greater good of the rabbim, harachmanu yasalanu nisim. We want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the geula. It's going to be a tremendous nisim. He's going to, whatever he's going to do, I have no idea. But it's going to be a tremendous nisim. So why is it that that's okay? So he says that since it's the tzarech rabbim, therefore it is going to be mutter. Says the Becharshar another answer, that there's a difference whether I'm being mispelled at something should happen b'derech ha-teva, or I'm being mispelled at something should happen al-derech ha-neis. So he says, by Rachel and Leah, let's say, that's totally al-derech ha-neis. I know that I'm pregnant with a son, and my sister is pregnant with a daughter. So I'm going to be mispelled that our two children should switch? That's being mispelled al-neis, that's not right. But to be mispelled al-derech ha-teva, that something should happen, ha-rachmanu yasal al-nisim, we want that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us. In a normal way, in a normal fashion. We don't want that he should do a Kriyas Yamsa for us nowadays. We want something normal. So when I'm being mispelled in such a way, so that does not seem to be such a serious problem. However, if you look in the Yeshua's Yaakov, in his Pirshon Shulchan Aruch, so he says a different teretz. He says as follows. If a person is mispelled for a nes, so that's not right. The Gemara tells us in Tainus that if a person asks for a nes, menachem lo mischuyosov. Why? It's not smart to ask for a nes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take all your schusim and shemayim in order that this nes should be done for you. So not only do we have this Gemara in Brachos that says not to be mispal a nes, the Gemara in Tainus and Chaf Aleph also says that a person should not be mispal for a nes because he's going to be wiped out of his own schusim. Says the Yeshua's Yaakov, based on that Gemara, what's the din if a person, let's say, davens that this nes should happen and he knows that through the nes a tremendous, tremendous ribuy of kvod shemayim is going to happen? I'm not asking for this nes because I want to be saved from a certain thing and I want some specific gain. I don't ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should plant a car in my backyard one day or just put a house in front of my eyes. That's not what I'm asking. That's something for my own personal pleasure. However, if I'm asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do something which is going to be marbek kvod shamayim, says the Yeshua Yaakov, do you think you're going to lose olam haba because you're being asking for a ribuy kvod shamayim? Of course not. So therefore, says the Yeshua Yaakov, that if a person formulates his tefillah for a nes, and he says, I would like this nes to happen because I'm asking that I want nisim to happen to us the same way that happened to our forefathers, and there was such a tremendous geula, and it was something that was mabek kvod shemayim, so if that's what I'm davening for, he says, that's okay. And I'll derech that, you can also explain by Sarah, it says, the tzchok asali elokim bazeh, right? When Sarah finds out that she's pregnant, so she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a joke out of me. So what is this? So the Acharonim ask, what do you think? Like the Gemara, the Torah just tells us conversations that everyone had. Every time someone said, a line off the cuff, the Torah just quotes it. What do we learn from this? When Sarah says, "Tzchok asali elokim bazeh," HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a joke out of me. What do we learn from that? So some want to explain based on this Yeshua Yaakov that the pshat is as follows. Sarah was concerned that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me a child at such an old age, I'm going to lose my schusim because a nes is happening to me, a nes nigla. And with this, I'm going to lose my schusim and shamayim through having a child. So maybe I don't want this. But then Sarah says, when she found out that she's having a child, she said, "Tzchok asali elokim bazeh." Such a joke. It's so ridiculous that a woman my age who never had children before is going to start having children. So she says, it's such a joke and everyone knows about it. It's going to be marbek kvod shamayim. It's so ridiculous. It's so laughable the way this situation panned out. Everyone's just going to look at it and say, the Ribbono Shel Olam is amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a ribuy kvod shamayim through this miracle that he's giving me. And therefore Sarah made a point to say that the only reason why I'm justified in taking this nes from the Ribbono Shel Olam is because tzchok asali elokim bazeh, because it's such a laughable point. It's something that makes no sense at all. Therefore she said, I could be makabel nes and I'm not concerned that I'm going to lose olam haba for it, because it's something that's going to be marbe the kvod shamayim in the world as a whole. So that's with regard to being mispala al anes. That's the answers to the Bechar Shara's Kasha, which the Shari Tshuva quotes about saying this harachaman. Which leads us to one other issue, which is as follows, that Rashi writes in Tainus Daf Chav Dalid, that not only is a person not allowed to be mispala al anes, once a nes actually happens, a person is aser lehanus min hanes. A person is not allowed to have hana from a nes either. So, where does that come from? So what's the point of an ace if you're not going to have anah? So that's a wonderful question, which the Marsha actually deals with a little bit. The Marsha says, let's say, if a person davens for something and he gets it, so you're going to say he's not allowed to use it? What do you mean? Then what? Doesn't make any sense. So the Marsha says, like you say. But let's say you have a situation where one day a person wakes up and his whole field happens to be growing gold. Which we'll see in a minute. That was a case in the Gemara. which we'll see in a second, the Gemara in Yuma. So is a person allowed to be nena from those stalks of gold? I didn't ask for it. I never would have dreamed of such a thing. So that's what Rashi says. A person is not allowed to have hana from a nes. Tanis daf chaf dalet, that's what Rashi is famous for saying. So the Bach writes in Yerodeya, this is just a midas chasidus, it's not a real din. But many achronim learn in Rashi that it's a real din. A person is not supposed to have hana from a nes because also he's going to clean himself out from his chlitz. So what's the story over here? The achronim ask a kasha, what's the story over here by the chashmonayim? The Rebbeinu Shlomo made a nes for them. He gave them oil for 8 days. Right? They only had a small pach shemen and it lasted for 8 days. So if Rashi writes that it's asur lehanas min anes, a person's not allowed to have any hana from anes, so why is it that the chashmonaim were allowed to use the oil for 8 days in the Beis HaMikdash?
It wasn't personal.
What?
It wasn't personal.
Oh, so that's the first teretz is the Chida writes in the Sefer Nachal Kidumim, which is on Parshas Peshalach, he writes that as follows. He says, the same way that Klal Yisrael was allowed to eat the man in the Midbar. What do you mean? That was anes. How is Klal Yisrael allowed to eat the man? How are they allowed to eat the slav? How are they allowed to drink from the Bar Miriam? Everything was a nes. Flowing out of rocks. You ever saw water coming out of a rock? You ever saw man falling in Hashemayim? Of course not. So how are they allowed to eat it? Ayetz nana mimaisa nisim. Says the Chidon is pirish on Parshas Peshalach and the Nachal Kedumim that the answer is that since, like you said, since this was done on behalf of a rabbim, on behalf of a tzibur, therefore there is no problem to be nana from the nes. And this is the same type of answer that the Bechar Shor gave before. That the whole concern of being net, the whole concern of davening for an ace is that I'm going to be cleaned out from all my schusim and shamayim. So if it's for the tzibur, if it's something that's not for my own good, it's something for the good of everybody else, so that's not going to clear me out of my schusim. So says the chida, that would be the same over here. A person is allowed to have ana from an ace if the ace is not being done for him personally, it's something that's being done for the tzibur. And therefore he says that that's the answer to Klal Yisrael eating man in the midbar, that's the answer to Klal Yisrael drinking the water in the midbar as well. And that's also the answer to the Chashmonaim using the Shemen and the Beis HaMikdash, all the 8 days of Chanukah. How derech that the Teferi Shmuel writes in his Pirush on Maseches Tamid, his Pirush on Mishnayis, that the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Lamites, which is also a Mishnah and Tamid, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Natabo Kalmina Megadim, says the Gemara, he planted all these beautiful trees, but what were these trees of? Megadim Shel Zahav. He planted stalks of gold. He didn't plant stalks of wheat, he planted stalks of gold. And every single year, when the season came around, they grew fruits and lots of produce made of gold. It was a nes ben hashamayim, nes nigla. Umehem hayah parnas lekuhuna. Shlomo HaMelech grew these things, and from there he was supporting all the kohanim who were sitting and doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and who were learning Torah in the Sanhedrin. So, isn't it also to have anaf from an ace? How is Shlomo HaMelech allowed to do it? So he answers as well, the Teferi Shmuel writes that the answer is that since this was something that was done al das, the tzibur having anaf for it, it wasn't done for any specific individual, it was something that was done for the general public, for the general kahuna, let's say, or for the general aniyim, so therefore Shlomo HaMelech was allowed to do that.
The story of Elisha, the Shashun and the boy being resuscitated when he's dead,
mm-hmm.
How can you do that in a sense? How can you have anaf from that? How could the young man have
enough? So what should he do? He should die?
Where's his head?
I mean, I would assume if it's because pikuach nefesh versus anything, so that wins out. Yeah, I assume. What do you mean? A person would. You're right, but a person. Yeah, but a person wouldn't be willing to give up all his everything to live another minute in Olam Hazeh to have another schus. Right, but if the problem with having an ace is that I'm using up my schusim and shamayim, it's worth it for me to have another opportunity to do more mitzvahs in the world. That's what.
Our schusim are so fickle that you're going to have some sort of a hanoah from something over here. You're going to use up all your schusim.
Yeah.
Why is it so fickle? I don't understand.
Well, we're not such gross tzaddikim.
An extra piece of steak. So whatever I've done for the past 60 years is going to be used up. Just
no.
That.
If it's a big nace. Not stam if I have hana in this belt. If it's a big nace, it Rashi writes, I'm using up. So one last answer is found in the Minchas Elazar, where he writes that any time that it's letzorich mitzvah, says the Minchas Elazar. For example, the Chashmonaim, where they were doing it for the tzorich mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Or any other nace which is letzorich mitzvah, says the Minchas Elazar, that is not a problem. Why? Based on the famous rule in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu. That's what he says. It's not called getting hana from an ace. When the Chashmonaim used this oil to burn in the Beis HaMikdash, that was not called getting hana from an ace at all. And that, with that, he explains the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samachayim Abayz, that the Gemara says Rav Chanina and Rav Oshio were sitting and learning together all Friday afternoon. They were learning none other than the Sefer HaYetzirah, the Gemara says. Learning all about how to make a golem. And says the Gemara, after sitting and learning together the whole Friday afternoon, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that they created a cow. Igla Tilsa. The Gemara says they created a calf, a very fat, very juicy calf, and they shechted it Friday night and they ate it for the meal. So the Achronim asked, the Yavitz asked in the back of the Gemara, how are they allowed to do that? It's having enough from an ace. The person's not allowed to have enough from an ace. Answer is, it was the Tzarech Mitzvah. They were doing it for Kavod Shabbos. They didn't have any meat for Shabbos. So they created with the Sefer Yetzirah, they made their own cow, and now they shechted it and ate it for Shabbos. So it's no kasha. Based on the Minchas Elazar Teretz, that Mitzvah Slav Hedus didn't know. So therefore it would be no kasha. It still might be a problem because the Gemara, we do know that the Rishonim say that by Achila, we do say Mitzvah Slahanis Nitnu because you're having hanah. In the end of the day, I'm eating a good steak, like you said, I'm eating a good steak, so I'm enjoying what I'm doing. You can't say Mitzvah Slahanis Nitnu. When I'm blowing shofar, so you could say Mitzvah Slahanis Nitnu, I'm not enjoying myself listening to the shofar. But when I'm actually eating something and I'm having hanah, the Gemara says that that might be an exception to the rule of Mitzvah Slahanis Nitnu. Yeah. Still? Question?
Chashmanu never asked for an ace. I mean, it wasn't that type of a thing. It occurred.
Right.
So where was the problem having an off from this ace? In other words, they lit it. They found it Pashemen. No ace. They found it Pashemen. And it just burned. It had nothing to do with them. They didn't ask for an ace. It should burn for 8 days.
Right, so that's the question. So what exactly happened there? Did they fill it and then the next night they went and filled it again?
I don't know. It just burned.
What?
It just burned for 8 days.
You think it burned for 8 days straight? I think some of them before. I think there are tons of terutzim, but I think many of the mefarshim say that they poured every night and they kept pouring and pouring. Hatavas and eros, right? You have to take everything out. So one of the avodas in the Beis Hamikdash that's liikuva is hatavas and eros. What?
I mean, not if you didn't have. If they had.
But they had the shemen. It was there.
They had one pach shemen, so they poured.
One pach shemen for 1 day.
Right.
I mean, that's the way I always understood it. I mean, it could be.
Right. So what happened?
They filled up the one, and until they made one, took 7 more days. But so that one still burned for 7 days.
I don't think so. What do you do about Hatavas HaNeiros?
What are you going to put it out?
You have to be made of the Neiros. You do. You do have to put it out.
But the thing is, it never diminished.
Never extinguished.
Never diminished.
Doesn't matter. You put it out, you light it back. You have to.
Okay, so they let it again. No, so.
What do you mean? So now you're using the Shem Shalmeis.
But it was there.
Okay, but that's the question. What do you mean? The Gemara says that all these things Shlomo HaMelech made, this Pardes of Zav that he grew, and it was growing trees and fruits full of gold. So when he made that, so the Achronim are bothered by the Kasha. How was he allowed to do that? How were they allowed to have Anot? What do you mean? It was there. Answer is, That's exactly the issue. Is a person allowed to use an ace even if it's put in front of his face? That's what?
The Rambam says you're not to get paid to learn either.
Yeah. So what?
So how are you going to go? How are you going to plant gold just to be able to sit and learn?
Okay. All right. So let's go on to. One other point here. The Gemara says that, what's the halacha with regard to bracha achas me'ein shalosh? What's the story when I make a bracha of al hamichya on Chanukah? Do I recite al anisim and al hamichya? We all know the din is. We do not recite al anisim and al hamichya. It's interesting if you look in Tosis in brachas on daf mem dalet amud aleph. So Tosis writes that when it comes to Shabbos or Yom Tov, you also don't recite any sort of recitation in the al hamichya. You leave it out. Now we know that we all say, We say Samchenu L'Tova, we say Zachreinu L'Tova, whatever we say. So we have the halacha, like it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch, some Reish Ches Sifyot Beis, that when a person recites Al HaMichya on Shabbos or Yom Tov, he does recite. So what's the story? Why by Al HaNisim do we not say anything? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes B'Shem the Gra, that the reason why we don't is because even in Berchas HaMazon, a person is not really mechuyev to say Al HaNisim on Chanukah. We said before, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Chavdal, it's only a minute. So he says, how far are you going to take this minute? We're going to say also we should institute it in Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh, also we should say it in Al HaMichya. That's going too far. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Bir Agra, and he says that therefore we do not say it. What? So it's interesting if you look at the parallelism between Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh and Berchas HaMazon, it's very interesting that it doesn't really match up. Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh is supposed to be a kitzer of the Berchas HaMazon, right? So where do we make the Azkara on Shabbos? Anyone have a sitter? Okay, so someone look in the sitter. Someone look in the sitter. What do we do? Oh, so what do we do? Shabbos and Berachas HaMazon, we say Ritzei after Uvenei.
No,
I'm sorry, before Uvenei. Good. Alamichi, you say it after Uvenei. So what's going on here? It's not exactly parallel to the Alamichi. It doesn't really match up exactly. Interestingly enough, if you look in the Elia Rabbah, he quotes some Paiskim that say that on Shabbos and Yantav and Arash Chodesh, you should say these haskaras in Alamichia before you say Vinay. The same way we find by Berachas HaMazon, because they're really supposed to be parallel. The Alamichia is supposed to be parallel to the Berachas HaMazon. Therefore, the Ali Rabbah quotes some Rishonim that say that really a person should recite it in a different part of the Alamichia, not exactly where we find it in the Siddur. So that's one answer which the Mishabur quotes B'Shem the Gra, why we do not recite any Alanisim in the Berachas Achas Mein Shalosh. The second answer is that Rab Chaim is famous for saying that Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh, Alamichia, is really something which is supposed to be a kitzer of all the brachos of Berachas HaMazon. Aye, so why do we say Ritzei and Yalav Yavol? That's not a bracha of Berachas HaMazon. So he says, no. Rab Chaim says, because there is a bracha, I think in the new Siddurim they have, for sure in the art school Siddurim they have, what's the din if a person forgets to say Yalav Yavol or Ritzei on Shabbos, and he already said Uvenei? So if you turn to page 92 in the Art School Siddur, so he writes over here that if a person already said the bracha, so what does he say? Where is it? What do you have?
Which one do you want?
Ritzein Shabbos. No, not Al Anisim. You say a bracha, right? So there's a bracha that was niskan for a person who forgets to say Ritzei on Shabbos and he remembers in between there. And the same...
Wait, after Vnei Yishalayim?
After Vnei Yishalayim, before he starts the fourth bracha. So there is a bracha. In the new Siddurim they have them. In the old Siddurim they might not. It seems that they don't have them. And the new benchers also. The new benchers that they give out now have them and the old ones don't. So... there is a bracha that was instituted for those who forget to say Ritzei or Yalav Yavol, and they remember just in time. There is no bracha that was ever instituted for a person who forgets to say Al Anisim. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, when we're coming to make a shortened version of the Berachas HaMazon, so we're going to take each bracha and shorten it. So when it comes to Ritzei and Yalav Yavol, we do find the bracha in the context of Ritzei and Yalav Yavol as well. Therefore, we're going to shorten those as well and put them into the recitation of Al Amichia. However, when it comes to Al Anisim, that's not something that we ever find the bracha, nusach ha-bracha on. So they don't have it with the benching. Okay, very good. So here it is. Baruch atah Hashem lokeinu malach olam asher nasan shabbosos l'menucha l'am Yisrael be'ava lo'os v'libris baruch atah Hashem mikadosh ha-shabbos. Whole new bracha. And we find the same thing by Yalav Yavol. Asher nasan rosh chodashem l'am Yisrael l'zikaron. Also, baruch atah Hashem lokeinu malach olam. So says Reb Chaim that those two things are brachos which actually we find in some type of context in the Berachas HaMazon. However, with regard to Al Anisim, where we never find such a thing, a person would not recite that in Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. That's Reb Chaim's Chiddush. Maybe that's why you say it after Vinay. The Eli Rabba's Kasha was, why do you say it after Vinay? It's not parallel to Berachas HaMazon. Answer is, it is. Because according to Reb Chaim's Vart, very good. According to Reb Chaim's Vart, that the whole recitation of Ritzei and Yalav Yavol in Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh is only supposed to be a kitzur of the Berachas HaMazon. That's why you say it after Vinay, because these brachas are only said after Vinay. Very good. Wow. What? Yeah. Okay, so to our last point over here, let's look at this sheet, now that we're almost finished. We're going to discuss a little bit about the Chiv Sudan Chanukah. What's the din if a person is he mechuyev to have a Sudan Chanukah? Is Chanukah considered a moed or not? So says the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud as follows. The Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehud Tzaduk. Shmona Asa Yam Shay Yachid Gomer Hem Asa Halal." There are 18 days which a Yachid must say the entire Halal. He cannot skip parts of Halal. He must say the whole thing. Which are these 18 days? Pay attention carefully. Says the Gemara, "Ein Adam Shmona Yemei Achag. 8 days of Sukkot. Shmona Yemei Chanukah. 8 days of Chanukah. Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. First day of Pesach. Yom Tov Harishon Shal Atzeres." Which is only one day. And Begola, for those of us who live in Chutz La'aretz, it's Esrei Me'echad, but it's 21 days. Why? Tishrei Me'echag, obviously, one more. Shemoni Me'echanukah, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Pesach, Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Atzeres. Very good. So now here goes the Gemara through the Cheshbon. How do you come to these days as to the exclusion of any other day? Where do we get this from? Says the Gemara. Why is it that on Sukkot I say Halal Shalim every single day of Yontif? However, when it comes to Pesach, I don't say Halal Shalim every day. What's the story? Says the Gemara. Since on Sukkot Chalukim and Karbonosam, we bring a different set of Karbonos every single day, so that's an added excitement. So therefore we say Gans Halal every day. Even though, if you ask me, it's ganz boring, the Kriyas HaTorah on Sukkot, like you go out of your mind. But it's only here. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's also. In Eretz Yisrael, it's also. Right, it's the same thing. I don't know. I always go crazy, but says the Gemara that's why we're supposed to be so excited, that's why we say Halal Shalom. I guess the pshat is because Bizman HaBayis, they actually brought Karbonos. They don't just do the laning like we do, Neshama Paras Vaseinu. So, something to look forward to. Anyway, so on Pesach, where it's in Chalukim HaKarbonosim, which we bring the same Karbonos every single day of Pesach, so we do not recite Halal Shalom, we only recite Chatzi Halal. Fine. Next, Shabbos Dechalukim HaKarbonosim Lema. If you're going to say that the determining factor for saying whole Halal is if you have special Karbonos, so what about Shabbos? Shabbos, we have special Karbonos, which we don't have during the week, so why don't we say them? Says the Gemara, no. Shabbos Lo Ikri Moed. Shabbos is not called the Yontif. So it's only, so far we have two qualifications. Number one, it has to be separate Karbonos, or it has to be Ikri Moed. Fine. Says the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh to Ikri Moed Lema. Maybe I should say I'm Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because I'm Rosh Chodesh. We know that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, whatever. The Gemara brings a Pasuk. So why is it that we don't say Halal Shalim on Rosh Chodesh? Says the Gemara, Lo Ikdesh Basiyas Melacha. Since I'm allowed to do work on Rosh Chodesh, therefore, it doesn't fall under the category of saying Halal Shalim. Third qualification. Says the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Dikri Moed, Ikdesh Basiyas Melacha Lema. What are you going to say now? Backed up against the wall. Why? I have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which we know are called Yomim Tovim in the Torah, yet we know that it's Asur Basiyas Melacha. So why is it, says the Gemara, why is it that I don't say Halal Shalim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, the famous answer, Mishim Rabbi Yabo, Dam Rabbi Yabo, Amr Malachi Asher Zafnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalom, Bipnei Ma, Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha, Bi Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a Yantif, why do we not say Shira? Says the Gemara, does it make sense that if I'm sitting here with the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason, they should sit and sing Halal all day, they should sing all the Nigunim and everyone should be happy, they should be a little bit nervous on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Yom Adin. Fine. Frakti Gemara, V'ha'chanukah, V'lo ha'chi V'lo ha'chi V'ka'amar. Stuck, what are you going to say now? Says the Gemara, we say Halal Shalim on all 8 days of Chanukah, Halal is Mutar Basiyas Melacha, Halal is Lo Ikri Moed,
and there's
no carbon, there's no anything. So why is it that on Halal we say, on Chanukah we say Halal Shalim? That's the Gemara's Kasha, answers the Gemara Mishum Nisa. Frakti Gemara, aye, what about Purim? Purim is also an ace. Okay, so that the Megillah is considered the Halal. Good. Kriyasa Zuilula. What do you see from the Gemara? The Beis Yosef quotes in Simakuf Lamed Aleph, Hashem the Shabali Aleka, that you see that Halal is not considered a Yontif. And the story. Halal is not considered a Yontif. A Yontif, one of the qualifications of a Yontif is that a person must eat Basar V'yayin. A person has to actually have a Suda. I'm sorry. Thank you. Chanukah is not considered a Yontif. That you see clearly from the Gemara, from the fact that Gemara asked the question, what warrants the saying of Halal on Chanukah? The Gemara says it's not Yontif and it's not Asur Basiyas Melacha. So what do you see from that? That Chanukah is not considered a Yontif. Period. Therefore, says the Beis Yosef B'Shem, the Shabbali Aleket, why does a person not say Tachnun on Chanukah? It's not a Yontif, so why don't I say Tachnun? He says, no, because the only reason I don't say Tachnun is since I say Halal, so it's not, it doesn't make any sense. The person's so mixed up in his tefillah. I know, like in YU, there's like a million minyanim on Yom HaTzmud. First of all, you have to decide if you hold like the Israelis or the Americans when Yom HaTzmud is. Okay. That's number one. Then you have the people who decide we're going to say Halal in the middle of davening, we're going to say Halal after davening. Fine. Then there are people who decide we're going to say Halal with a bracha, without a bracha. In the middle of davening, before davening, after davening, on this day, on the other day. And then you have the people who also want to say Tachnun, and then the people who also say they don't want to say Tachnun. But they don't want to say Halal, they only want to say it after davening. So, actually it's funny, if you'll daven in a shul, where they're going to get up and say Halal on Yom HaTzmud, and they're going to say Tachnun. It looks very funny. What is it? Is today a happy day? Is today not a happy day? So even though Chanukah is not a moed, says the Beis Yosef B'Shem, the Shabbali Aleka, we have to come up with a new reason why we're not going to say Tachanun on Chanukah. It's not because it's a Yontif, rather the reason is because we say Halal. The reason we don't say Tachanun is because we say Halal, not because it's a Yontif. Fine, very good. So now look in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph. Says the Gemara, Nasa bo Nes, on Chanukah a Nes occurred, v'hiliku imenu shmona yamim l'shana ha'cheres, the year after that, kavim v'asam yamim tovim b'halol v'hodah. Right? A tremendous Nes happened, therefore on the following year, they instituted that everyone would say, halol v'hodah. Asks one of the Perushim on the Smag, which is quoted in the Mishnah Siyavitz, that's where I saw it, I have never actually looked in this Perush HaRa'im ala Smag, I'll be honest. I just saw it in the Mishnah Siyavitz by Rav Zolti in Simon Ayin Gimel. He has a kasha. Why does the Gemara say that Chanukah was instituted the next year that a person should say Halal v'Hodah? How about the fact that they were Misakin and a person should light candles? The Gemara leaves out the most important point. The next year they were Misakin, you know, we're going to make a Yantav of Chanukah, we're going to have Halal v'Hodah. And we're going to light candles. What else? So that's the kasha that the Re'im has in his Pirish on the Smag. How did the Gemara leave out the main point of Chanukah about lighting candles? Says the Mishnah Siyavitz as follows. He says, the Ikar HaTakana of Ner Chanukah was not the next year. The Ikar HaTakana of Chanukah was Halal v'Hodah, that a person should sit and sing and rejoice and be happy that he was saved. Says the Mishnah Siyavitz that the next year the Beis HaMikdash was still around. So he says they had the lights in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the greatest commemoration of the Nes. They weren't Misakin the next year to light candles in your own home. They only were Misakin later after Churban Beis HaMikdash to light candles in your own home. Why? To commemorate what used to be in the Beis HaMikdash when they would light their own menorah, Lifnai V'Lifnim, when they would light it inside the Beis HaMikdash in the Heichal. So that was something that the Mishnah Siyavitz is Mechadish. It's an interesting point that the Gemara actually leaves out this point of lighting Chanukah candles because that wasn't the Takana right away. This was something that came later. And he says it's interesting if you look in the Ran. We know that the Ran writes that it's Asr L'Hishtamish La'ora, which is Paskin the Shulchan Aruch. A person is not allowed to read a newspaper, he's not allowed to read a book in front of his Chanukah candles. Why not? So the Ran explains on the Gemara, a few Rishonim say different things, but the Ran explains on the Gemara that it's based off the din by the Hadlakas HaMenorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Same way that was Hektish and a person was not allowed to have any Hanah from those lights, so too, nowadays when the Takana of Menorah was based off the Takana of, I mean the din of lighting Menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, we are not allowed, also the Shtamish Torah, we're not allowed to have Hanah from the lights that we light in our home on Chanukah. So that's an interesting Chiddush that the Mishnah Siyavitz writes in his Sefer Siman Ayin Gimel all the Chanukah. No, you're not allowed to have Hanah from the lights. Wow. You have to turn on a different light or use the shamash. Yeah, that's passing the Shulchan Aruch. Person also the shamash. So the question is, why is it that on Chanukah we do not have a Chiyuv Seudah? However, when it comes to Purim, we know that the whole Purim is all about Chiyuv Seudah. It's Mishta V'Simcha. Why is it that Chanukah we are Misakin to have Halav HaHodah, and Purim is supposed to be Mishta V'Simcha? So now we're going to go through just three quick answers that we find in the Divrei HaAchronim, the Poskim on Shulchan Aruch. So first is the Levush. In Siman Tav Reish Ayin Sif Beis, he writes as follows. Mipnei Shalom Nimsiru Yisrael Ba'osa Hazman B'yad Moshal Echad, Shaya Moshal Aleim Harika K'mo Shahayi B'mei Haman. Haman HaRasha wanted to kill Gans Klal Yisrael. But that wasn't the case by Chanukah. They didn't want to kill us. All they wanted, he says, V'lo Bikshom Ha'am Ela Hachna. All they wanted is that we should defer to their kingdom, that we should listen to all their rules, that we should follow in their footsteps, we should go and be a part of their culture. So therefore, says the Levush, Lakach lo kavum ela lahalal ulahodos. V'lo lemishta v'simcha, kolomak. Kivin sheim ratzu limnoa sana mizeh, lichbar bedas chas v'shalom. Since all they wanted to do was to stop us from being Jewish, but they didn't want to actually kill us. V'az rasa yisbarach lo hefikos mamam v'gavar yadenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo didn't allow that to happen. Therefore, we set aside these days for Halal v'Hodah. However, when, in the days of Haman, he wanted to actually wipe out Klal Yisrael and make sure that they wouldn't enjoy anything, therefore, we have a day for Halal v'Hodah. Skip down another line. Therefore, that which we find everyone makes Chanukah Mesibas, that's not something that's a Me'ikar Adin, that's something that's only a Rishus. However, there are those that say, Shagam Chanukah Yesh Ksas Mitzvah Beribi HaSudas, a person should go out of his way a little bit to eat extra on Chanukah. V'chein Nogimbos Ve'elu Amadinos. We do have this Minig. Why? He says, because this is to commemorate the days of the Chanukah HaMizbeach, which was going on Chanukah. But it's not for the Simcha of Chanukah per se, because only Purim has this din of Mishnah V'Simcha, and Chanukah only has the din of Halav HaHodah. Look at the Taz in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Sif Gimel. He writes, he doesn't understand the Levush, and he writes his own reason. Lahalo lehodos anira hatam. Why is this only a din of lahalo lehodos and not to have mishta b'simcha? To lo kavu kam the simcha kama b'purim. To b'purim hayanes mefursim la'atzalos nefashos. Says the Taz, on Purim, this was a mefursim, it was a nes mefursim, which was for the saving of Klal Yisrael. We were in a serious problem then. And we all got saved. Al zeh yesh simcha b'olam hazeh. However, when it came to Chanukah, which we know we were saved, however, this wasn't something that the whole world shook from. It was a private nace that happened to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, in such a case, we don't need to have an all-out simcha. And he asked Akasha on the Levush. Anyway, when you have some time, you can look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He has an answer for the Levush. And it's interesting, Aruch HaShulchan. Anyway, in the last line of the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, just... Main in the Indian, he writes something interesting. I think that's Klafim is Kvitlach, no? Whatever. People who gamble on Chanukah, he says he very much is against the Minig. There's the Aruch HaShulchan in Taf Reish Ayin. He says that he takes this very seriously. So this is all in the camp of those who say that the days of Chanukah were only instituted as Halav HaHodah and not as Mishnah B'Simcha. It's interesting that if you look in the Rambam, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, and Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam does say that these days were actually instituted, the Acharonim learn out in the Rambam that they were instituted as Yimei Simcha, the Rambam says. He doesn't say Yimei Halav HaHodah, he says Yimei Simcha. And we know the Marashal writes in the Tshuva that it's a mitzvah l'smach b'Chanukah, which normally means to have basar v'yayin. Al derech that, the Bach writes b'shem the Rav Yoh, that if a person forgets to say Ala Nisim in his Birchas Hamazon, he must recite Birchas Hamazon over again. Why? Because if you learn like this Rambam, that really there's a Chiv Simcha, there's a Chiv Suda on Chanukah, he must repeat. Obviously, we do not pass on like that Bach. We don't hold like this Rav Yoh. Person who forgets to say Ala Nisim on Chanukah does not recite at all. That's not even Lechatchila. He shouldn't do anything. He should just say the Harachaman and recite that. Just a few words on the upcoming Parsha. This is a beautiful piece. I'm sure everyone has heard of the Ema Banam Smecha, one of the more famous svarim from the last century. And the author was a famous Hasidish Rebbe, not Hasidish Rebbe, Hasidish Yid, who was a Talmud of the Munkach Rebbe, who was the king of anti-Zionism at the time. And he, what? Teichtal, right. So he ended up writing the Sefer. It's amazing. If you ever have a chance to read it, it's amazing that he did not have any svarim when he wrote this. He wrote this in an attic in the middle of the war. And it's like with such a bekias, it's tremendous. Just look at this page itself. It's like incredible what he has. So he shares a very beautiful insight on this week's parsha. He says, we're going to skip all the parts that are in parentheses. We're just going to read the parts that are not. So he says, in paragraph Yud Gimel, Ach b'ni, chutz mimashek hasavti l'mayla, lahaniach daitecha b'tmi hasecha hagdola. He says that his son is asking him this question that's bothering him to no end. How could it be? Eich yitachin shakadosh baruch hu yaskala geula ayidei over ritzono v'ayidei anashim dey nikar bam shum lach luchas shal yehudis chas v'shalom. Hayayir Hashem as libi lasis tam l'shmach b'zeh af l'ray yaseinu haktzar. His son is asking, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us an Eretz Yisrael and he's going to start it with people that are interested in making a government and they're not shomer Torah mitzvahs, they're not interested in setting up the government al pi atar or al pi chosh mishpat. So how is it that you're saying that going to Eretz Yisrael is going to be a mitzvah in this time when we know that the original people who were setting up the Medina were not people who followed the Torah at all? How could it be? I was showing this to my father today, just before we get to his answer. He told me something really, really strange. That there's a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Mala Galinsky. Rabbi Fine, I'm sure you know him.
Yeah.
Right?
You can go to Israel.
Okay, the reason I'm saying it is that you'll believe the story. He, Rabbi Mala Galinsky said he has a neighbor in Givat Shaul, who's a very good friend, who has Kisvei Yad from a Chassidish Rebbe from a few hundred years ago. And he says, so Rabbi Galinsky asked him, why don't you print the Kisvei Yad? You know, it's very nice. People would be interested in Kisvei Yad from a Chassidish Rebbe. Who wouldn't? He said, I'll tell you what. Because there's a Ksav Yad within these Kisvei Yad that he said, if I would print it, people would say, I forged the entire Ksav Yad. Now, Rabbi Galinsky said he saw it with his own eyes. So take it or leave it. If you don't trust Rabbi Galinsky, it's up to you. But he said the Ksav Yad that this Chassidish Rebbe writes 300 years ago, I think he said it was, way before Zionism. He writes that the people who were involved in the Chet, in the Dara Midbar, came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Taina. Why can't we come back to the world as Gulgulim and be Masakin the Chet that we did in the Midbar? So the Rosh Hashanah was fighting with them. No, you did such a terrible thing, and Klal Yisrael was punished forevermore because of it. Sorry, no chance. You're out. So they were fighting with him. Why can't we just come back to Masakin the Chet? So the Rosh Hashanah said, he's writing this 300 years ago. And he says, fine, I'm going to let you go back to the world, but the only thing you're allowed to do in this world is make sure that Chibas Haaretz, the message of Chibas Yisrael, gets out into the world. So the Chassidish Rebbe is writing that he had a dream like this, that one day there's going to be a group of people who are not going to be Shomrei Torah mitzvos at all, and they're going to have one Matara in the world, just to be Mesakin in the Chet of the Dor HaMidbar for saying Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, and their one point in this world, their one tafkin in the world is going to be to bring Chibas Haaretz onto the people. Very interesting thing. So Rabbi Galinsky said that his neighbor is afraid to print it because people are going to say he made it up. Okay, I don't blame them. But very interesting thing. So this is the question that the Eim Abanim Smecha, someone posed to him. How can you tell us that this is something, this is the divine will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should go to Eretz Yisrael when it's being started? Shaloi al Taras HaKadosh, it's not being made by people who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos at all. Says Rav Teichtal as follows. Beautiful answer, he says. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do something tremendous in the world, it's something that's going to shake the worlds both above and below. Hashem packages it. He covers it up. He covers it up with many different covers, with many different layers, and he makes sure that people are not going to realize what's going on. He's even going to do it with things that are totally not respectful for this cause. And we'll see in a minute what he means. Sometimes it's even inappropriate. So that this way, no kitchur could get in the way. Because no one is ever going to expect that something's going to come out of this situation. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do it out in the open, and it would be bepirsum, take of Hayaola Hamakatrig Lakatri Gumidasadin Hayamaki Bedover. He says if Hashem would do it in public, if he would do it in a fashion where everyone would know about it, then there would always be Ketrugim, there would always be someone getting in the way and not allowing for this thing to actually happen. However, he says, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu packages it in such a way where he covers it up and he doesn't allow people to actually understand what is going on behind the scenes. Vizel Lashon HaShach Ala Torah, which is not written by the Shach, Parash Vayishlach, Shamati B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov Arizal. Shakiva Meir Bosav, Lama Hayachas Vasra Bahamalcha Yisrael Yia Ayidei Al Zehaderech. Why is it that the Yachas and the Swara of and the Malchus, where does David HaMelech come from? Comes from Rus. Rus was a Moaviyah. These are Yichas. I'm looking for a Shidduch, I want Yichas. I got it. So I'm looking for a Shidduch, I want Yichas. So what are you gonna say? I should go to Rus HaMoaviyah? Who would be Mashiach with Rus HaMoaviyah? Yet our Malchus comes from Rus? How could it be? How could it be Yehuda and Tamar? That's where the whole Ma'isa Avera happened, and that's where Melech HaMashiach comes from. How is that possible? How could it be that the Melech HaMashiach, our one most halakha person that we've been waiting for forever, is going to come from such an inappropriate situation? Says the Eim Abanim Smecha, B'Shem L'Shach Ala Torah, Shachishev Kal Ishtal Shel Hashem Mashiach, Shehaya Al Derech Mechur Pritzis, El Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kein, Hashem did this on purpose, Kedei Lahavi Melech HaMashiach Behesach Hadas, so that no one will ever think, no one will ever imagine, that this is where he's actually coming from. No one will ever get in the way to stop him from coming. And therefore he says, Kadesh Shalom Yakachik Amakachik Moshe Omer Bezoar, whatever. So he says, continues to go on like this, and he explains that this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes packages things in the most surprising way possible. And it's just a little bit of a lesson. He goes on and on and on for 10 pages on this Yesod. And he points out that it's very interesting. Sometimes, you know, we laugh at certain people. We think this guy's a low yitzlach, he's a nothing, this person did something so inappropriate, he's not going to ever do tshuva, he's not worthy of our respect, he's not this, he's not that. And Rav Teichtal points out in the Eim Abanim Smecha that sometimes a person should be very, very careful who he writes off in his books. Who he's mechabed, who he's not. You never actually know who's going to come from which situation. You never actually know which situation is going to be something that's going to warrant a tremendous amount of respect from us in the long run. And it's something that he writes that everyone should actually take very seriously and recognize that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically goes out of his way to cover things with a package that's so unexpected in a way that we should actually learn from it to understand, to actually respect every situation which we might be faced with. So, Mirz Hashem, next week again, my father will be filling in instead of me.